Good to see this number out this morning. Good to see some faces we haven't seen in some time, and we're so delighted you're here. Good to have some visiting with us, and we are delighted to have you amongst us. We have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. If you find that I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll show me my error, I'll make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Butler has suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Or if you've left Christ and you need to be restored, we'll be praying as we stand and sing that you'd make your way to the front and come back to your first love. If you have your Bible, if you will, turn with me to the 50th Psalm, Psalm 50. And I want to begin reading with you at verse 16. Psalm 50, beginning at verse 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes, or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction, and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him, and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you've done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. In Psalm 14, in verse 1, you will recall that the Bible says that a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we read about the folly of not believing in the existence of God. And could there be inner greater folly than this? But I suggest to you that in the 50th Psalm, we find what could be a great problem, a folly greater than denying God, and that is ones who say they believe in God and then live as if there is no God. To say that one believes in God and then live as if there is no God is what we might call dead religion. And what I want to do for just a few moments of time is talk about dead religion. We've been making a study this year of Revive Us Again. And one thing we need to make sure of as individuals that make up the body of Christ is that we are not practicing and acting in a way that promotes dead religion. If you take your Bible in the 50th Psalm, if you will, look at verse 16 and notice how the people are addressed by God. In verse 16, notice the divine revelation said, but to the wicked. If you have your Bible, take note of that word wicked. Here the very ones that are called wicked are the ones who knew the commandment of God. And then notice what they do. In your Bible, in verse 17, the Bible says, they hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. Here are people, they know the word of God. And God said they have cast the word behind them. They do not keep it before their eyes. They do not practice it, but they take it and put it out of mind and out of sight. They cast it behind them where they won't have to deal with the commandments and the word of God. And notice he said, you lie, you steal, you commit adultery. They speak against their own brethren. And notice these are several of the sins that he talks about in verses 17 down through verse 20. He said, you commit these sins by lying, by stealing, and committing the sin of adultery, and you speak evil and slander your brother. And notice, my friend, that God had given the people the law back in Exodus 20. He wanted them to keep the law, but instead of keeping the law, they had cast his words behind their back. But secondly, in your Bible, notice their thoughts. In the book of Psalm and verse 21, notice the Bible says, these things you have done, and I kept silent. you thought, underscore you thought, that I was altogether like you. Now, I want you to think about the fact that these people were putting their thinking before God's Word. They had already cast the Word of God behind their back, and therefore they thought that their thinking, their ways, their methods was what was right instead of God's Word. That their thought determined everything. You remember there was a man from Syria who was a commander of the army in 2 Kings 5 who thought the same thing. He is identified as Naaman. And you remember that Elisha the prophet had told that man when he had come down with the disease of leprosy that he was to go and to dip in the Jordan 7 times. And that made the man mad. He thought, what's wrong with going back to Syria? What's wrong with the waters in my homeland? And you remember that that man made the statement, behold, I thought. And yet, my friend, his thinking was not in harmony with God's Word, God's will, God's way. So I want you to look and notice that the wicked had cast God's Word from their eyes, and thus they were living based upon how they felt and how they thought. But then if you notice something else, look at their worship. If you know back in verses 7 through 15, there are some things that talk about the worship. And notice that they say in verse 7, hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. Underscore, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Now the thing we need to notice about dead religion in regard to their worship is that they did not deny God deserved worship. But what we see is that they had the wrong view of the sacrifice. It became a mere formality within. He didn't rebuke them for bringing the sacrifice. He rebuked them for formality and coldness. That they did not come with a sincere heart. And when you look at the people, beginning down through verse 16, he says, you're wicked because you do not look at me as the great God. Look in Psalm 50 in verse 1. Look, he said, the mighty one, God the Lord. Notice, they should have seen he's the mighty God, the true and living God. He is God that reigns on high. But instead of seeing God as they should have, they were just going through the motions in worship. They had forgotten how great God is. And I'll tell you part of the reason. They had cast His Word behind their back. And I'll tell you another reason. They began to think that their way was just as good as anything God had said. And then they thought God was like them, and they cast His Word aside. And now when they worship, they were just going through the motions. But then they forgot something else. Notice, if you will, in Psalm 50 in verse 4, that in verse 4, it says, He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that He may judge His people. If you have your Bible, underscore judge. They forgot He is the judge and would be the judge. And they were beginning to act as if there was no God to judge them. And so I want you to look at the people of that day and time, and I want you to notice that they were living in a way that angered the God of heaven because they did not keep His Word. They did not think that He was right to worship in a way that was in harmony with His will. They thought that their opinions and views were just as good as anything He said, and they forgot He was judge. I want to take that, make application in the lesson, Jerks. The first thing I want us to think about is the fact that we look among the people who say they believe in God, and what do we see? We see a lot of people who put the Word of God behind them, acting as if there is no law. They act like they don't have to keep the Word of God. They live contrary to God's will. They do not practice that which glorifies God. They do not practice that which gives God the praise due Him. And thus, my friend, they rob God of what is rightfully His. They lie, they commit adultery, they speak evil of my brother. And my friend, this is nothing more than dead religion. I'll tell you something, when we practice such and we live in a state of sin all the time and we do not think about living for God, but we're just living for our own selfish reasons, then I'll tell you, my friend, we rob God of what is His. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, you remember that when the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, he makes a statement. And it's an amazing statement to think about. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, he said, "But if anyone does not provide for his home, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith. He is worse than an unbeliever." That's dead religion. That's somebody that's not taking care of his own family. And notice he said, he's worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever. I'll tell you, my friend, when I think about that, that puts a certain amount of fear in my heart. Could it be that we practice dead religion? That we're not living up to what God would have us live up to give Him glory? But secondly, what about our thoughts? Some people put their thought above all things. They say, "I think it's all right, and thus it must be all right. I think it's all right to use instrumental music in the worship." Though they have no authority from God in the New Testament, they just say their thought is better than God's thought. "I think it's all right to leave off the Lord's Supper," some will say. And they may take it quarterly or yearly. And they say that that is their view and they think that's okay. Though they do not have authority to do that, their thought determines everything they believe. And can I say that's dead religion? You know, my friend, if you want to make up your own belief system and go out here and start some religious group and say that it's right with God and it's all based upon your belief, then you've cast the Word of God behind you. And what you have is not a church that glorifies God, but glorifies man. There are a lot of those in our society where people are glorifying man. Man is being put upon a pedestal. You ever notice they'll name some evangelist that's known on television and everyone says, "Oh, he must be right." I'll tell you, my friend, not if he's cast the Word of God behind his back. But what about our worship? Have you ever thought about our worship? Why do we come together? Well, it's our duty. We make it here and we leave. And someone may say, "Well, I go because it's the thing to do. Then when this is over, it's finished." The thing is, many times we go and forget God. You know something? What would cause a revival is if we had the picture that Isaiah had in Isaiah 6 when he said, "I saw the Lord in His temple." And when we come together, we should see a picture of God through His Word. Oh, I'm not going to see a vision. But I'll tell you what, I'll see a picture of the attributes and the greatness and the glory of the God that I believe in, the God that I serve, and the God that I preach. But when religion becomes a formality, it's a dead religion. Now, we've sang these songs, Brother Butler led. I want to ask you a question. When you sang "Hallelujah, What a Savior," was your heart touched to think about what He's done for us? When we sang, "The Lord is in His holy temple," did you think about the greatness of God, that He reigns in heaven? When we partook of the Lord's Supper, did you think about the death, burial, resurrection, and the fact that Jesus is coming again? Or did we just go through the motions? It is so easy, as Brother Stone brought out on Wednesday night, to go through the motion and forget why we're here. And sometimes if we're not careful, religion will become a formality and we can start to act like there's no God. And until we see ourselves as Isaiah saw himself in Isaiah 6, we will never realize we are sinners and undone. See, what happens oftentimes in local churches is we see ourselves as the good people. And because of our morality and because we don't participate in certain things, we think, well, since we're good, God will accept anything we offer. I'll tell you, my friend, we are still sinners. We're still undone. Even Isaiah saw that in himself. And what happens is we need to see the greatness of God's mercy and love, and that'll make our worship become alive and not dead. You know what makes religious boring? When you don't see the God you're worshiping. When you don't have a picture of the attributes of the God you believe in. The God you proclaim. The God you say you trust in. I'll tell you, my friend, if you believe in Him, then you're going to worship Him. Until we really see ourselves, we'll never realize how great God is, because we'll never see how terrible sin is. But we must not forget another thing. God is the judge. You know, my friend, many of us need to really realize that God will judge us. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul said, we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And He will be the judge, not the church, not the preacher. And if we're not careful, what we'll do is to begin to think like they did in verse 21, that God is like us. That God will just accept anything. It's interesting, you go through the book of Malachi. Oh, I love to make a study of the book of Malachi, because I see so many parallels to today. In Malachi's day, they didn't deny that God deserved worship. They didn't deny that God deserved a sacrifice. But they would bring their lame and the blind and the sick, because in their mind, something was better than nothing, and God should just be happy I gave something. That's the attitude of a lot of people. I'm giving more than the world, so therefore I must be right. Because I am giving something, God should be happy. The world's not giving anything. The world's living in sin. I have morals. I have dignity. I'm not out here doing the things God has said. But at the same time, my worship does not come from the heart. I'm not giving God my best. I'm giving God what's left. And we expect God to be happy with that. That, my friend, is when religion becomes a dead religion. The day you think that God is like us is when religion becomes dead. I want to tell you something. I may be old-timey, but I don't like to hear people say, my friend upstairs, or the old man upstairs, or the good man upstairs. I tell you, he's not a man. He's the Almighty God. And I reverence Him as God. I glorify Him as God. And it's a tremendous thing to say you believe in God, but you need to live in a way that proves you believe in God. Unless you have dead religion. You know what's happened in a lot of places? We've made it a race to get through everything so we can get to the restroom and have social time. I'll tell you something. There's nothing wrong with social time. But there used to be a day that when the service was over, people would stop and meditate upon what was said. And think about the worship they've done to the God of heaven. And it meant something to them. worship doesn't mean anything to you, then it's a dead religion. I've often thought, on Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, not just because I preach, but because I worship, I should be almost physically tired because of what I've put into my worship. That my mind has been engaged. That my thoughts have been engaged on how great God is. And my heart has been engaged as I've sang praises to Him. And I've glorified. And it sustains me. Because I've worshiped the great I Am. The question we have is, do you live in a way that shows you truly believe in God? If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, our heart's prayer is, you'll come now as together we stand and sing.